Hey, Shavua Tov. Hope you all enjoyed a beautiful Shabbat. We are in day 17, bringing redemption. Now, we read just in this past week's Parsha, Parshat Ki Tavo, we just read in synagogue today, about what's called in Hebrew the tochacha, the rebuke. When God informs the Jewish people of the difficult and dire consequences of the Jewish people failing to adhere to the Torah. Now, there are two such rebukes found in the Torah, one back in Sefer Vayikra in the book of Leviticus, and one that we just read today in Sefer Dvarim, Parshat Ki Tavo. And they're both difficult, actually, to listen to and to read. But there's one very important distinction and one worthy difference that I pointed out in the chapter. And that is the first admonition, the first rebuke, the first tochacha found back in Sefer Vayikra, book of Leviticus, has a little silver lining. And it says, V'zacharti et briti, that God says, after all of these terrible things are going to happen, God says, I will remember my covenant with Jacob and also with Isaac and with Abraham. That even though all of these awful things can happen to the Jewish people, if you don't follow my ways, I'm going to still remember the covenant that I made and everything will be okay. And, you know, we have a little sort of source of comfort and hope. But in the Tochacha that we just read in synagogue today, in Parshat Ki Tavo, here in the book of Deuteronomy, the rebuke does not have such a silver lining. And it's kind of difficult to understand, why does God offer words of consolation in the first rebuke back in Leviticus, but not in the one that we just read today? And the Ramban, the great Nachmanides, explains that the first rebuke is referring to the exile at the hands of the Babylonians, and the second rebuke, the one we read today, is referring to the exile at the hands of the Romans. We know the Babylonians destroyed the first temple in 586 BCE, the Romans destroyed the second temple 70 CE. Nachmanides explains that the first temple, the first exile at the hands of the Babylonians, was relatively short. It only lasted 70 years. And after 70 years passed, God intervened and redeemed the Jewish people. And then he remembered the covenant and redeemed his people, right? And that's what's alluded to in the first tochacha, in the first rebuke found back in the book of Leviticus. But the second exile, which took place at the hands of the Romans in 70 CE, the one that destroyed our second temple, well, that was destined to be much longer. And that's why, according to Nachmanides, the Ramban, the second rebuke contains no words of comfort. Because in regard to the second and longer exile, the one in which we continue to operate, we will have to take, says Nachmanides, an active part. God will redeem us from the first exile, but we've got to redeem ourselves from the second, the one we're in right now. And that is actually quite hopeful in its own way, because the first chief rabbi, I put this in the chapter of Cook, first chief rabbi of Israel, said this about why we need to get up and open the door at our Seder. We do this very strange ritual on Passover. We open up the door to let Elijah the prophet in, and we recite this prayer, and he asks if Elijah can figure out how to stay alive all these centuries. The great prophet Eliyahu somehow survives and continues to live and joins us at our Seder. Why do we have to open up the door for him? What, he can't figure out a way of getting in on his own? He can't pick the lock or squeeze through the peephole? We have to open up the door? And he says, because the next geula, the next redemption, says Rav Kook, will only come when the Jewish people get up and when we take action ourselves. And Elijah represents redemption. And Rav Kook is teaching us that the next redemption is only going to happen when each of us takes positive actions to spiritually redeem ourselves. Every time we do a mitzvah, every time we study some Torah, we give some charity, we visit Israel, we do something to support Israel, because Israel, I very much believe, and a lot of them, Rav Kook certainly did, is the place of the redemption and people coming back to Israel and creating an independent sovereign state in the land of Israel is bringing the Mashiach closer. That's why Rav Kook was such a great religious Zionist, because he believed that the state of Israel was the vehicle through which the Messiah will be brought. And that is something for us to think about. What are we doing to bring the Mashiach? Because we're not supposed to just pray for the Mashiach. We're not supposed to just hope for it. We're supposed to, actually, one of the six questions that Talmud asks, this is not in the chapter, I'm just adding it in, one of the six questions that Talmud says that we're going to be asked after 120, when we're standing before God and giving judgment at the end of our lives, one of the questions is, Tzipisa lihoshua, did you yearn for the coming of the Mashiach? And Rav Kook is saying, really, what are you doing? What are we doing to bring the Mashiach? It's not just anticipating. We have to do something. And we believe by keeping mitzvot, and by supporting Israel and doing what we can to build up the state of Israel, which is the place through which the Mashiach will come. We are doing something and not just hoping and anticipating. We're actually taking action to bring the Mashiach. And that's ultimately what the rebuke in this parsha that we just read today is alluding to. There's no silver lining in there from Hashem, because it's not up to God. It's up to us to bring the next Mashiach. What are we doing to bring the Mashiach? What new mitzvah can we perform, which can bring the world closer to a higher spiritual enlightenment, making it worthy of the messianic redemption?